Hey everybody, welcome to Come Follow Me Daily Dose. I'm Lindsay Hansen and today is April 29th. Today we're going to continue in this week's Come Follow Me block. We're going to continue in Mosiah chapter 4 and we're going to start in verse 9, which I know I read verse 9 yesterday, but I want to talk about verses 9 and 10 again and a different principle that we can see from that same verse. So let's start out in verse 9. King Benjamin is telling the people, "Believe in God. Believe that he is and that he created all things both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he has all wisdom and all power both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man cannot comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend." Now, something that's interesting about this scripture, but also important to recognize about this scripture, is that this is not King Benjamin bearing his testimony to the people. He's not saying, "I believe in God. I believe that he is. I believe that he has created all things." That's not what's happening here. King Benjamin in this scripture is inviting them to believe these things. Yes, he believes these things. Yes, I'm sure he knows these things. But what he's doing here is he's inviting, imploring, asking them to believe in these things as well. And I think that that's significant, and I think it's important because oftentimes we treat belief or faith or testimony as passive principles. We think that it's something that is going to happen to us. But here, King Benjamin is inviting the people to choose belief and to choose testimony. In 2015, Elder Clayton gave a talk called "Choose to Believe." And in that talk, he says, "Belief and testimony and faith are not passive principles. They do not just happen to us. Belief is something we choose, we hope for, we work for it, and we sacrifice for it. We will not accidentally come to believe in the Savior and his gospel any more than we will accidentally pray or accidentally pay tithing." I love this quote because, as you know, I love the principle of agency. I love the idea of acting and not being acted upon. And here it's saying that belief, faith, testimony, all of these things are not things that are going to act upon us. They're things that we have to choose, things that we have to be intentional about. And that is what I believe that King Benjamin is doing in this verse. He's inviting them to choose faith, to choose belief, to be intentional about it. We live in a world where faith is mocked. Everywhere we turn, faith is mocked. It is almost trendy to disbelieve now. And so it's more important than ever for you and I to know and to understand that we can choose to believe. We can choose faith. We can choose testimony. Because we live in such a faith-critical world, there will be times when you will come across something that might shake your faith. We'll come across criticisms. We'll come across different things that might be difficult to hear or understand. But in those moments, that's when we have to choose belief. That might require saying, "You know what? I don't totally understand this right now. I don't totally get why this happened. I don't quite understand what was said or how it was said. I might not totally get it all right this second, but I choose to believe that someday I will. I choose to believe in the faith that I've experienced. I choose to believe in the experiences that I've had. Even if there's one little portion of something that doesn't make sense or I can't quite comprehend, I choose to believe that someday I will." But then in verse 2, King Benjamin is going to tell them the things that they need to do with their belief. It says, "And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that ye do them." So in verse 9, he's inviting us to choose belief. And in verse 10, he's asking us to choose to act like we believe, to allow that belief to change what we do, to lead us to repentance. In verse 9, he is saying, choose to believe in God, choose to believe that he is, that he created all things, choose to believe that you can't comprehend everything that he can comprehend. And then in verse 10, he says, now act like it. Act like you believe those things by being willing to repent and to come unto him. Elder Bednar has taught us that faith is a principle of action and power, meaning when we choose to act on our belief, power flows into our lives because of it. That's how belief and faith turn eventually into conversion. Because as we act on our faith, as we choose to believe and then choose to live that belief, our hearts are changed and conversion happens in our lives. So after he invites them to believe and then tells them what they need to do in order to show that belief, verse 12, he makes a promise. He says, "And behold, I say unto you that if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins." I love that sequence of events. Believe, choose belief, act like you believe and continue to repent, and then watch what happens as you continue to act that way. If you will continue to repent, you will always rejoice. You will always be filled with the love of God, and you will always retain a remission of your sins. I love that because oftentimes, especially if we keep falling into the same sin over and over, oftentimes we can get into the mindset that we have worn out our welcome at the table of repentance. But what the scripture is saying that is if we are constantly trying to develop faith, and if we're constantly trying our best, but even when we're falling short, we can continue to repent. We can continue to come to Him. We can continue to try to change and do better. And that never runs out. We can always retain a remission of our sins. We can always receive that forgiveness. And when we receive that forgiveness, when we experience repentance, we can always experience that rejoicing and that love of God that comes with it. And what a blessing of the gospel, that the gospel plan includes a process where we can continually repent and receive forgiveness and remission of our sins. Now, when I'm thinking about this idea of retaining a remission of our sins and God continually blessing us with that opportunity to repent, it reminds me of the story of my dad's baptism. I didn't learn this until my second year of college, but I was standing in the kitchen talking to my dad, and he was telling me about the story of his baptism. He was 8 years old and at the time was living in Flagstaff, and he was up Oak Creek Canyon. And if you're familiar with that area, he was near Slide Rock. And there my dad is with his family, his dad, his mom, his two older brothers who were young at the time, and then a younger sister who was just a baby. And his dad looks at him and he's like, "All right, let's get baptized." And they go into this river, and my grandpa baptized my dad, which would be fine, except I'm 99% sure my grandpa didn't go through any of the proper channels to have permission to be able to do that. There were no witnesses. There was no certificate. It's just, this is not the way it was done. It was not done in the proper way in the slightest. And so here I am, my second year of college. All my stupid teenage years are behind me. And I am so excited to hear this story. I'm like, "Dad, that's awesome. Your baptism totally didn't count. And you baptized me. So if your baptism didn't count, that means my baptism didn't count, which means we all get to be rebaptized." And in my mind, I am picturing the awesome picture of just my entire family there in white being baptized together. Now, keep in mind, when my dad was telling me this story, he was serving as bishop of our ward. So I'm pretty sure the Lord saw his baptism as being legitimate. But I'm getting all excited about it. And my dad said, "Why do you care? Like, why are you so excited about this?" And I said, "Well, I can be so much better now than I was as a stupid teenager. I'm excited to be baptized and just have all my sins washed away again." And my dad laughed a little bit and he said, "Lindsay, what do you think you do every Sunday when you take the sacrament?" And that was so powerful because here I am. I've been brought up in the church. I've been in the primary lessons and the young women's lessons. I know these things, but it never totally occurred to me the power of renewing our covenants every Sunday when we take the bread and water. That we have the opportunity every Sunday to retain a remission of our sins through belief in God, through repentance, and through coming humbly to that sacrament table every single week. My friends, what a blessing to worship a God who never ceases to invite us to His table of forgiveness. Man, as a mortal, I think about how frustrating it must be to God for us to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. But I don't believe that our Father in heaven is frustrated with us all the time. I believe that He sees us learning and growing and trying. And I think that He rejoices every single time we approach Him in repentance. And because of that, because He has set up a perfect way for us to always retain a remission of our sins, we can continue to repent and we can continue to feast at the table of forgiveness because of His great love for us. Thank you so much for listening today. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to follow us on social media, subscribe, like, comment, or share. This has been Come Follow Me, Daily Dose, and I'm Lindsay Hansen.